Thankful for the prayer that's been offered. Ask each of you just to continue to pray. I'd like to read to you this morning from the writings and the Acts of the Apostles in Acts chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me there. I certainly encourage you to do that. I feel that's something that sometimes we have missed along the way, is the importance of following in the Word of God and looking at the Word of God very closely when we're making an effort to preach. It's always a blessing to see the brethren following along in the Scripture. It gives us comfort in case we misread or would skip a verse or skip a word, and because every word in God's Word is so very important. And also, I believe, helps us to get an understanding and stay very attentive to the Word. What a blessing it is we have it, and that the Lord has allowed us to have it, and that we can even speak from it this morning. We also know that without the Lord, we could open our Bibles every day and get nothing from them. And yet, it is a great blessing that the Lord has given us when we open our Bibles and He enlightens us and feeds us from His Word. So, I'd like to read to you from Acts chapter 5. We'll begin at verse 12 of Acts 5. There in the account of the earlier verses 1 through 11 deal with the case of Ananias and Sapphira, who were part of the early church, that when the brethren felt led of the Lord to sell all the possessions and lay it at the apostles' feet, Ananias, and that of course was not something that was the church was brought under obligation to do, but it was that which they voluntarily did at that time. There was also the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jerusalem was soon to be destroyed, and it was in AD 70 completely destroyed, and the temple and all the abomination of desolations talked about in the book of Daniel. Much of that prophecy was fulfilled in AD 70 when Jerusalem was under siege and destroyed. And they, knowing this, there was a time that they knew those things were not important. And really, we might look at that, they still are not important. And though we don't all do that, we don't come into Happy Creek Church and when you become a member, you have to give everything, sell your house and your home and all that you have and bring it to the church. But there is a sense where once we are a part of the Lord's church, what we have really is not our own. That whatever the Lord's given to us, it's for the use of others of the Lord's people. And my house is your house, and your house is my house, and what I've got in my refrigerator, you have, and what you have in your refrigerator, I have. And I know for some of you that's a scary thought. But we have things in common, don't we? We do have things in common. At least we ought to. And what you'll find in your life, the more that you're willing to let loose of those things that you feel like you got to have, in order to just, you trust the Lord, and you're not living for those things, and that doesn't mean we give everything away to everybody who asks. That's not necessarily good for them. But it does mean as the Lord leads us and guides us and directs us, we are not so in love with stuff that we live for it, that we're not willing to give whatever's necessary and needful at the time for the blessings of those of the Lord's people. When you read about this in the Acts of the Apostles, they were led of the Spirit of God to do that for the time that they were living, that they've sold all that they had and had all things common. And there was no one that lacked. There was no one who went in need. And among us in the church, it's our responsibility to help our brethren along to see that none of the brethren are in need for the natural things. And as the Lord has blessed us, we should be willing and more than willing to help others. That's just a scriptural pattern and practice that's been laid down in the Word of God. Now, Ananias and Sapphira in verses 1 through 11, you read about them. They said they were going to do that, but then they held back part of it. And that's a very dangerous thing. They didn't have to say they were going to do it. And the Bible tells us there was no one that you were not under obligation to do that. But when you tell the Holy Spirit, this is what I'm going to do, and that's what I'm doing, and then you act like you've done it, and then you try to hide it, be sure the Lord will find us out. And isn't that true about everything in our life? All things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. I can hide things from my wife. It's hard, but I can. And she can hide things from me. And that's probably a little easier. But we can hide things from the church. We can hide things from one another. And it's wonderful today to be able to come and say, just as I am, because we all, to some degree, have done that. We all do that. We don't let everybody know what we're thinking. And I'm really glad we don't. We don't share all the things that go on in our head. But I want us to understand this morning, just as I am also means that there's everything in our life. Our life is an open book to the Lord. He knows everything we've ever done. He knows every thought we're ever having. He knows it all the time. And that is a scary thought if you don't understand grace. But if you understand grace, it's a wonderful thought, because if He didn't know about it, then He could not have died for it at Calvary. But because He did know about it, all of our sins have been removed from us. Even those secret sins that you and I, those parts of our life we think we got on track, and all that's wrong with those parts. He knows all about them. And it's a wonderful thing to come this morning, just as I am, knowing, Lord, You know who I am. You know who I am. And without Him, I'm nothing. But with Him, I can do whatever He would have me do. Ananias and Sapphira, they felt like, well, we can just act like we've done this and nobody will know the difference. The only thing is, they were dealing with apostles. And the apostles were given apostolic gifts by the Holy Spirit, gifts of discernment, gifts of understanding, gifts that were given in a day and age before the gospel and the scripture was given completely. And there were apostolic gifts unto them that you did not want to play around with the apostles. You didn't want to hide things from them, because the Lord was moving so powerfully with them. They were in the process of even penning down this very Bible in which we're reading. They were getting that information from God that by inspiration has been written to us. They didn't come preaching from the New Testament, because there was no New Testament in place. But they came preaching the messages of the New Testament. And as they did, signs followed them, miraculous signs. And great power was there. Sometimes in this world, God's children have got confused and they feel that those powers are still available. That the days of the apostles are as they were here, and the Acts of the Apostles are still here. And we hear those folks. And sometimes we as old Baptists might wonder when we're reading the Bible, well, you know, why don't we have, you know, those gifts that were there in the Acts of the Apostles? Why aren't they present as they were then? You see, really what we have is a better day than what they had. Now, I'm not saying their day wasn't wonderful, but I'm saying what you and I are blessed with today is even more miraculous. We have before us this Bible written by inspiration of God and confirmed by the signs given unto the apostles. The things you read about in this Bible, you can be assured of, because those signs did follow the apostles, and the Lord confirmed His word with those miraculous signs. And we don't have to wonder, is there more word coming? Because the Bible tells us this is our thorough furnisher. We have all there is that we're going to get and need until the Lord comes again. Isn't that good to know? We don't have to sit and wait for the minister to come in and say, oh, well, I got a word from the Lord today, and come in with something different than what the Bible already has given. What we're told is, you try those ministers that stand before you. And if they come in with something more or leave out something from the word of God, you are to reject them and their doctrine. And if they continue in that doctrine, you mark them as a heretic, and you're not to have communion or fellowship with them any longer. And that it's important for us to stand on the truth. In the days of the apostles, they did not have the Bible written. They had the Old Testament, of course, but they did not have the New Testament, because it was in the process of being written. And these signs came and confirmed those things that were written. And that's important when you're reading in the Acts of the Apostles, because there somebody said, where are the signs that follow the old Baptist church? You just tell them they're in the Acts of the Apostles. Because the signs have come. And they confirmed the word. And according to Hebrews, they have been confirmed, past tense. And that means once they're confirmed, God doesn't need to confirm it anymore. He doesn't need to give us physical signs. Now, does God heal? Absolutely. I believe God heals. I believe when we pray to the Lord and ask Him to bless, that He is able, if it's according to His will, to heal any disease, any time, any place, that there's never anything. Even death itself is not too big for the Lord. He can handle even death itself. And we have a great physician. But the gifts that were given expressly to the apostles ceased, even in the lives of the apostles, once the entirety of the word was given and the signs confirmed them, there was no longer any need for the signs. And it's like a child. When they're a child, they need the things of a child. But once you become grown, you no longer need those things. 1 Corinthians 13 will tell you that as you read through that wonderful love chapter, the chapter of God's charity and His love. It'll tell you about how those signs would even, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And when the church was complete with the word of God, then the signs which were in part were ceased. Now I know there are many other applications, like even in the church, we got a lot in part, don't we? You know, one day, all that we do in the activities of the church that are in imperfection will be done in heaven without any imperfection. And that's going to be wonderful. I love worshiping Him here. But I look forward to a time where I won't have to worship Him in just in part, but I can worship Him completely. Where I'm not just worrying about this old flesh. You know, down here the seats get hard. Down here the body is sometimes weary, and the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Down here I can be in the middle of a meeting and all of a sudden some pain hit me on my right side and a hip or something, and I go like, I got to get up and move and miss all that's going on. Or I can have some thought of this world come in, doesn't it? Sometimes and interfere with the preaching of the gospel. Or I can even get all kinds of things going on. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it going to be wonderful when all that is good and right will be there, but all that's imperfect will be done away. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. But Ananias and Sapphira fell under the judgment of God. And notice that the church didn't have to come and vote and say, okay, brethren, y'all messed up. Nobody had to search them out. They didn't have to send private investigators out and check on them. It was the Lord who found them out, and it was the Lord who judged them. And when the Lord finished judging them, well, they were in, it was a serious thing. And let me just say it this way, not to cause you to be overly afraid, though there is a fear of the Lord that we ought to have. We're not to play with the Lord. Coming to church is a serious matter. Worshiping God is a serious matter. Singing hymns of praise is a serious matter. It's the most important thing you'll ever do in your life. You know, we think going to my job is very important and I've got to do that. Well, it is important and you do need to do it. But coming to the house of God is the most important thing that you and I will ever engage in this world. It's important for the minister to come trusting in the Lord and leaning upon the Lord for the instruction that is to come from God, that he might go to the place God would have him to go and preach what God's laid on his heart. But it's just as important for you to set and feed from the Word and get that message that God has given him to give you so that you might have it as you go into this world. Listen, you're going to need it. I'm here today because I need it. I'm not here to help somebody. I hope I can help, but my purpose of being here is not to just be help and to be seen. Don't you need to come? Don't you need to hear? Don't you need the instruction from His Word? And when we come needy, you know, it's like when you come to the dinner table and you're hungry. It's a whole lot different than when you come to the dinner table and you're full. I don't know that experience too much because it seems like I've never really been full. But I know what it's like to come to the dinner table when all that good food's in front of you and you're hungry. But I also know, I've heard of those who can sit at a dinner table and though the food is good, they don't have an appetite. Oh, I'm telling you, sometimes we've grown so spiritually cold in this world, we come to the house of God and we seemingly don't have an appetite. And we need to pray, Lord, not only bless our preacher to have the food we need, but bless this old sinner with an appetite so that I come hungry for the Word. That not only is the food present, but that my appetite is present so that I can really feed. Because, brethren, I'm going to say it clearly. You are in a troubled world and you need the Lord and you need the truth and you need the doctrine and you need to have that understanding, because in this old world, this world is not a friend to the little child of grace. This world is not your home. You're pilgrim and strangers here below, and you're just passing through, and you need to have this strength in order to face the trials that are sure to come. They're not going to possibly come. They're not going to might be there. The Bible says you're going to be hit with all kinds of problems in this world, and there is a strength and a rock in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that you can count on and depend upon. And when we lean on Him and trust in Him and His Word, that which was confirmed by the Acts of the Apostles and given to us in Holy Writ, God's Word, we've got a sure word of prophecy that we can count on to live our lives by. And if we ignore this book, it will be to our detriment and to our hurt. And when we take this book and live by it, trust Him, walk by it, walk in it, carry it in our lives, carry it in our homes, carry it in our families, carry it on our jobs. And I'm talking about not just carrying it literally, though there's nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about having it in our hearts, meditating upon it, and then using those very principles to make decisions in your life. Your life takes a different course altogether, doesn't it? And you do things differently, and you act differently, and you behave differently, because you realize that I have one to answer to that Ananias and Sapphira answered to. And I do not want to act and behave in a way. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Oh, how fearful it would be if we fell out of His hands, though. I've got good news for you. Those who are in His hands, you are engraved in His hands, and there's nothing, no one or anything can pluck you out of the hand of Almighty God. But I'm telling you, He holds those of us that He has blessed with so many blessings accountable to walk in the blessings He's given us in a way that's pleasing to Him. And there's blessings found in obedience, and there's chastisements that come as a result of being disobedient. And as a minister of the gospel, I am charged, because I love you, to urge you as much as I can to be obedient to the Lord. And it'll be a blessing. Hasn't it been a blessing to you when you've done that? And there have been a lot of things I've been sorry for, but I've never been sorry I listened to the Lord. I've never been sorry I followed His Word. There have been some times I've been sorry that I didn't listen and I didn't follow. But I'm so thankful. That doesn't mean I'm cast away from Him, but that I want to do better. Okay. Wow. Verse 11, after the death of Ananias and Sapphira, and if we had lived in the church age at that time and seen that occurred, I'm sure this would have happened to us as well. It says, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. In other words, they came to a very clear understanding. Look, we're talking about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. We're talking about the God of Scriptures. We're talking about a God you don't play with. We're talking about serving a Lord who has our lives in His hands. We're talking about a judgment that came on Ananias and Sapphira when they had done that they died. And they carried them out of the house because the Lord struck them, took them out of this world because of their lying to the Holy Ghost. And because of that, as a judgment upon the entire church was affected by that. I'm sure it would be among us as well. It says, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Now, this is not a slavish fear, because the Bible certainly condemns us. You should not be coming to church because you're afraid of not coming. You should not be here serving the Lord today because you're afraid of Him and you're fearful of Him, especially that He would cast you away into hell, because that's not the gospel and that's not the truth. I'm not to come before you and scare you to death with the Bible. I am to comfort you with God's Word. The Bible says, comfort ye my people. But we also know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that is a reverential respect of the Lord. We treat Him as our Father. He is, yes, Abba Father, which means Daddy Father, but it's not Daddy in the sense it's disrespectful. It's Daddy in the sense that He is my Lord, He's my God, He's my Father. He deserves the respect and the adoration as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I ought to live my life like He owns it, because He really does. Sometimes I forget that He owns it, and I sometimes forget who I am. If I'm a little child of grace, I am obligated to follow my Father. I don't want to disrespect my Father. And the church came under that great fear, and it was upon all the church. And then verse 12, he says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." And the reason that those signs and wonders, this is verse 12 of Acts chapter 5, it says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." And those signs and wonders were miraculous things that were occurring, healing of the sick, and even those going into the streets hoping that the very shadow of Peter might fall upon them, that they might be healed from their infirmities. The Bible really doesn't say that the shadow of Peter did that. It may have done that, but it doesn't really absolutely say that it did. It just said that they saw such power in those men that the Lord blessed them with, that they were clearly understanding these men were of the Lord. And their desire was, if we can just even get close enough to Peter. You see, some have pictured that Peter was being the first pope, and that same thing followed down through the years where that power was given there. That's not the instruction. These were all apostles. Peter was one among the apostles, not more or less than any other apostle. But the power that was given unto them was for a purpose, and that was to confirm the Scripture. Remember that. Somebody said, why aren't those signs still prevalent? Some say they are. Well, the word doesn't need to be confirmed any longer. Yeah, I hope you got that. Okay. Over in chapter 4, it tells us, after they were questioned about the healing of the impotent man, in verse 13 it says, "And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus." And here he says in verse 32 of Acts chapter 4, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Verses 32 and 33. In other words, the signs confirmed the message. And the message was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death and His burial and His resurrection. And the Sadducees here, hearing of the resurrection, got upset because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't believe that we would ever be resurrected. Boy, I'd be sad today too, wouldn't you, if we didn't believe in the resurrection. Aren't you glad we can believe in the resurrection? One thing you can remember about the Sadducees, well, they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They were sad, you see. They didn't believe in the resurrection. If you didn't believe in the resurrection, you'd be a Sadducee too. I'd be sad. See, we believe in the resurrection. And why do we believe in the resurrection? Because Jesus died. I'm telling you, there's an empty tomb that gives us a reason to believe in the resurrection. Jesus went to the cross and He paid a sin debt we could not pay. But He also went to the grave. And then on that third day, just as He prophesied, and just as the Old Testament pointed out, He came forth from the grave. He came forth not in that bruised, mangled form that He was at Calvary, but in a glorified body. He came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And just as sure as Jesus died and rose again, the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "As sure as Jesus died and rose again, He will bring them which sleep with Him also when He comes again. And there will be a resurrection of those that are dead, those that are asleep in Jesus." I'll tell you, there would be no good news to preach at a funeral if we didn't have the doctrine of the resurrection. The Bible says if there be no resurrection, the Apostle Paul said it this way. He says, then your faith is in vain, your preaching is vain, and we are yet in our sins. There would be no good news of the gospel if there was no resurrection. There is even some who take the name Old Baptist or Primitive Baptist and don't believe in a resurrection. Listen, the day we deny the resurrection, we lose our identity as the Lord's church. The resurrection of the body and the preaching of the resurrection and the doctrine of the resurrection was a doctrine that the apostles taught, and the signs that followed them confirmed that, and it's laid down in God's Word, and we're told to believe it and receive it. And thank God that we can. We go to the graveside of a loved one and we see that body going into the cold ground and we wonder what is it like to be there. Listen, you don't have to worry about that. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The soul and the spirit is already with the Lord. And that body that either goes to the ground, some may have it cremated and the dust of that body scattered all over the earth. Some may be cast over in the oceans and that body just gets spread all over the planet. Some may die in all kinds of forms, blown to bits and where you couldn't get all the pieces of the body. And somebody said, well, what's going to happen with that? Let me tell you this. The Lord knows who His children, the foundation of God, stand sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And when they die and leave this world, their soul and spirit goes to be with the Lord. And they're considered to be asleep in Jesus. Now, the sleeping is not the soul and the spirit. The sleeping is the body. The body is asleep. What does that mean? That means it's inactive. Why? Because there's no soul and spirit there. Where's the soul and spirit? Is it active? Yes, it's in the very presence of the Lord. That's why it's better than living here in this world. Paul said, "To live for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." It wouldn't be gain if we just died and went to sleep. Wouldn't be anything appealing about that. Now, if the Bible taught that, we'd have to. But I'm thankful the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And signs followed the teachings of the apostles that confirmed that. And we have the signs written in the Acts of the Apostles, and you and I have the Bible today that we can stand on, and you can count on this Bible being God's Word. Listen, I want you to be able to count on this Bible to be God's Word. This Bible is under attack today. There would be those who would tell us, well, some of it's good, but you don't have to take all of it. Or you can do this or that or some other thing with it. This is God's Word. And when we heed it and follow it, we're following the teachings of the apostles. But if we leave out one thing, it could be the resurrection. And if you leave out the resurrection, then he said, our preaching is vain, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins if there be no resurrection. So how sure is the resurrection of our bodies? Just as sure as the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that makes you feel comfortable and comforts you. It does me. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. This is verse 12. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now, if you read about that in verses 32, 33, and 34 of Acts chapter 4, you'll see the great peace that was among the Lord's people at that time. And I'll tell you what, it's nothing like being in peace among the brethren. He says there, and I read it, but I want to read it again. It says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. Oh, isn't it wonderful to be of one heart? What keeps us of one heart? If we come together with our thoughts and our minds and our thinking, boy, you don't have one heart, do you? You have all kinds of ideas gathering together. That's why people have so much trouble. That's why when you get more than two, more than one, and even with battles going on within me, do you have battles going on within you where I'm not even in agreement with myself? And sometimes that warfare is going on in me. And then when I get someone else involved, we got some more. And then we have a whole congregation of people. Somebody says, well, wonder why we have trouble in our church. Well, that doesn't... I understand why we have trouble. But the reason we have trouble in that church is because we have people in our church. And our people are faulty and are prone to fail. And if we don't seek to be of one mind and one heart with the Lord and looking to Him, we'll be of all kinds of mixed-minded. We'll have all kinds of problems and trouble. This church, the church here at Jerusalem, was of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And then with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And I love that passage. I'll tell you, when you have peace in the church, great grace is upon you. If you have peace in your home, great grace is upon you. It's normal to have the fighting. It's not normal to have the peace. It's grace that you're given if you have peace. You have peace in your home, you thank the Lord. You have peace in your church, I believe we're at peace here. And I thank the Lord. But I know we need to be seeking and searching to be of one mind and of one soul. You have to labor at that, don't you? You have to seek to follow the Lord. I have to learn. That's why it's important for us to grow and learn of Him and find out how is it we're supposed to think and act and behave. And His Word keeps us of one heart and one mind and one soul. And it's not our way, my way or your way, it's His way. When we're in His way, we're in the right way. And if we're on our track, we're in the wrong way. There's a wide gate and a broad way, and there are many that go in there at, but there's a straight and narrow way that few be that find it. And that is when we give up our thoughts and our thinking to follow His way and His thinking. And he says they were all with one accord at Solomon's porch, in Solomon's porch. And Solomon's porch is like a Roman, it's kind of, I guess the best way for me to describe it would be like a pavilion. It's like just think of big columns and a porch that's covering with a top on that where everybody was, all of them were gathered there under this. You got like a pavilion type gathering. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. There was no man then that said, I'm going to be an apostle. There was none that joined themselves in that sense. That I want. There were those 12 apostles. The Lord had called them. The Lord had qualified them. The Lord had given them the gifts. And there was none that were trying to be apostles. If you look in the early history of the Catoctin Association around the early 1800s or maybe just before that, there were some brethren who got the idea that the gifts of the apostles were still present among us. And they set apart a man. Old Baptist did this. And this part, our people did this. They set apart a preacher for a year. He was going to act as an apostle to the churches. And he went among the brethren for a year. After 1 year, they said, we don't believe that's right anymore. And it took them a year to figure out that that was off track. Because he was going from church to church trying to straighten up. I'm sure that little brother was so glad to lay down that apostleship, because unless the Lord called you to be apostle and qualified you, it's kind of like a man who wants to preach and the Lord hasn't given him the ability or the calling to preach. He's going to have trouble and he's going to cause trouble. And that dear brother, though he was a good brother and probably a good man, he was off track. And when he got off track, thank the Lord, they were able to say, hey, we're off track. And they turned that, they gave that up. And here we see that there was none of them that tried to take that upon themselves. He said, but the people magnified them. What does that mean? That means they respected the apostles because God had given them that great gift. And it says, and believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, verse 14. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick unto the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about in Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And get this little part right here because it's very important. And they were healed, every one. You see, they didn't get healed on Sunday morning and lose it by Sunday evening. They didn't have some great thing happen and then all of a sudden it's gone and it's done. These were the gifts, the actual gifts of the apostles. Remember, Ananias and Sapphira lied about what the Holy Ghost was doing. It's a dangerous thing to do that. These were gifts given to the apostles. What were they given for? They were given to confirm the Word. The Word has been given. Those gifts, as they were here, have ceased. But we have the evidence that they were here. And they didn't try to heal anyone. They healed them, and they didn't heal them by their own powers, by the power of God that was given to them as the apostles. And they were healed, everyone. A man who says he has that gift today could not have that gift because that ended with the confirmation of the Word and the Bible. It was, now, can someone pray for someone and they be healed? Well, we'd certainly be wasting time to mention everybody that we've mentioned this morning and ask you to pray if we didn't believe that. I do believe that one brethren can pray, but I'm telling you to bring somebody to some man and say, lay your hands on him, he'll heal you, is not that which is in place today. It was in the days of the apostles, but it is no longer today. Why? Because the word has been confirmed. Can you see? We have a better word today because of that. It has been confirmed. What they were preaching was the truth, but it had to be confirmed with those gifts. What we have is the truth, and we have the confirmation that's already been given. We are having a sure word of prophecy. Okay. And they didn't go and say, well, if you'd have had just a little bit more faith, or if you'd have had just a little more trust, then it would have worked. But it didn't work because, and many a little child of God today feels like something isn't working because I'm not believing enough. Somebody said, well, what's the problem with that? Listen, there's many a little child of God who goes away from that feeling like I didn't get healed, and the reason I didn't get healed had to be that I didn't believe enough, that I didn't trust enough. In the days of the apostles, it wasn't about how much the sick believed, it was about the work of Almighty God. Their faith, as they trusted in the Lord that was given to them, they all were healed. Every one. Not one missed. Okay. I spent much longer on that than I needed to. Maybe not needed to, but than I thought I would. I just want us to understand that. We believe in the gifts of the apostles. But we believe they were in the scripture and they've been done and given and the word's been confirmed and those gifts ceased. And that's where we're to stay with that. Okay. Now, could some of God's children believe otherwise? Yes, I believe many do. I believe there are many who are absolutely convinced the gifts are still here and present. They're still God's children. I think they're losing a great deal of peace and joy they could be having and understanding that the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is all complete and it's confirmed in His Word. All right. Verse 17. Then the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. In other words, they're preaching the resurrection and all these people getting healed. And what are we going to do about this? We're going to have to stop them. They're preaching the resurrection. And they got angry about that. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. We're going to take care of these boys. We're just going to lock them up. Put them in with the malefactors, with the others who have done things wrong. We're going to put them in jail. That will bring a reproach against them. Put them in jail with common criminals in a common prison. We're going to, and also it will stop them from preaching. Well, they didn't have many more success than that. The reason they were unsuccessful in that they were trying to stop the work of Almighty God. You know, we serve a God who cannot be stopped and cannot be hindered. And when it is the Lord's will, He will have His way. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He has pleased. And they laid hands on the apostles and they put them into common prison. And then get verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. How much trouble did the Lord have getting them out? Men put them in there. I'm sure locked them in there. Men standing on the outside guarding them. The door's locked. The door's shut. And it says in one quick verse, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors. How much trouble? None. Not a bit. And brought them forth and said, he didn't say, now you go hide. They're trying to kill you. You go get away from these people. You better stop this and we better go underground. No, he said, you go right back into the temple and preach what you preached yesterday and preach what you've been preaching. You preach the resurrection. You preach the whole truth. You preach the way and the truth and the life being the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. In other words, he said, he didn't say, now you cut out that resurrection part because that's getting you in trouble and we don't want to. Listen, some people say, well, you know, if it's going to get you in trouble, let's leave that part out. Sometimes you get that idea. You know, we'd be a little bit more accepted if we just left out this. Or we'd be a little more accepted if we didn't stand for that. Or we'd be a little more accepted if we just kind of kept a little quiet about this part and emphasized the gospel And leave out these little nitpicking things. Can I say to you that with the Lord, there are no nitpicking things. Amen. What we're to stand for is what the Scripture stands for. Where it's silent, we're to be silent. Where it speaks, we're to speak. We have no right to compromise the truth of God's Word or the practice of God's Word or the message of God's Word. He didn't say go stand and speak some of the words of this life. He didn't say go stand and speak the parts that are unoffensive. He didn't say go stand and speak the parts that don't get you in trouble. He said you go speak all the words of this life. And I love the way the gospel is talked about, the words of this life. I'm telling you, this gospel, His truth, is our bread and butter. His truth feeds us. His truth tells us about how to get along in this world. His truth tells us how to live. His truth tells us about dying. His truth helps you in your marriage. His truth helps you in the church, helps you in your home, helps you in your personal life. It'll help us in our nation, in our country. And a country that ignores any part of His truth is going to suffer as a consequence, and individuals that do will also suffer as a consequence. And the minister who stands and says, okay, I'm going to give them this because they'll have it, but I'm going to hold back on this part because I think it'll upset them, will make his congregation sick and weak and is not worthy of the calling the Lord's given him. Not that any of us are worthy of it, but he said to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And how do we walk worthy of it? That means when he lays it on our hearts, we're to speak it. And we're to say it in love and in humility, but we're to say the truth. I said, what if they lock you up? Well, if they lock me up and it's the Lord's will, he can get me out. He already did in Acts of the Apostles. He said, well, then you can go run and hide. No, he didn't say go run and hide. He said, you go and teach. You go and preach. And how are we going to do that? The Lord opens the door and the Lord shuts the door. And if we just simply turn it, and by the way, what that's true of a minister is true for you. He will open doors for you in your life, has he not? And he will shut them. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life as you walk in this world trusting in him. He will open up things that you don't even have a clue about, and he will shut down things that maybe you want that weren't good for you. As you lean on the Lord and depend upon him, that's why we have to go, Lord, it's not my way or my will, but thy way, and nevertheless, not my will be done. We can have plans, but always have it with this qualification, the Lord willing. The Lord willing. Okay. He said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people. See, there are many God's children that need to hear this. There were some that didn't like it. There were some that loved it. There were some who will have it. There are many who won't have it. What we have is not going to be ever popular with the world and with the great numbers of the world. But there are God's little children in this world that need to hear this, don't they? I just would love to share it with more of them. And thank the Lord when we have the opportunity to do that. But I'm to share it whether they like it or they don't, or whether they have it or they won't. I'm not to be the discerner of that. I am just to spread, just to sow the seed and sow the word. And the Lord is the one who gives the increase. And I am so thankful that's the case. Okay. I see the time. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. Notice this, the angel told them what to do and they did it. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. There they are, boy, in their great wisdom. They're getting their great group together, and they're about to say, we're going to see what we're going to do with these old boys over there in the jailhouse. And you go over and get them and bring them in here, we're going to talk to them. And when they went to get them, they weren't there. And then they said, what are we going to do now? Where is this going to grow to? I'm not near where I wanted to be, but I'm where the time has taken us to. I did get them out of jail. The great picture here is that they preached Jesus. And they continued to preach Jesus. And they didn't change the message. And they preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They preached the doctrine of the resurrection. And the Lord even gave them liberty to be able to do that. Even as that group met and said, what are we going to do? They said, well, you know, Gamaliel stands up and he says, you know, there was one who came before preaching some things and he didn't last. He didn't last. Judas didn't last. Because what he was saying wasn't of the Lord. And all of his followers are gone. And then there was another group that came, Judas. And that group came and what he was preaching. And all of that, all of his followers are now gone. He says, but if these men be of God, when you do against them and try to hinder them, you find yourselves fighting against God. And he says, so let's just let them go. The only thing is, they did let them go after they'd beaten them. And telling them, you go be quiet, don't say any more. You know how much that effect had, much effect that had on the apostles? They went away to preach, thanking the Lord they were worthy to suffer for his name's sake. Are we there today? Somebody says a little something to me and I get all in a huff and act like, well, somebody's really hurt my feelings. I've never been beaten ever. I've been beaten when I was a kid. Not beaten, but I've been whipped. I know what that is. But I've never, for the gospel's sake, ever taken a beating. There's been some times I've got a few looks. I feel like some people, you know, I've seen some people huffy. I've made a few mad. But I tell you what I've suffered for the cause has been so little in regard to what these men suffered. And you know, I wonder how I would be if I, you know, sometimes I have a little pity party about some of the things I got to go through this and go through that because, you know, just because I stood for what was right and, oh, they didn't like me. They didn't treat me right. And you know what, and is that what the apostles did? No, they were beaten. Listen, they were beaten. They were scourged. 40 stripes on the back. Beaten. Save one. So I guess 39. They went away saying, we're thankful we could suffer for his name's sake. May we have that attitude. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and I appreciate your kind attention. May we stand for Jesus Christ and him crucified, the way, the truth, the life, and preach it and teach it, and every doctrine the Bible supports, every practice the Bible supports, and earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And the Lord bless us to do that, no matter what. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
279.
I ran that rabbit everywhere. I hope I didn't lose anybody. I hope so.